If you would, turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We've got several scriptures that I would like to read to you out of Deuteronomy. It's going to take a little bit of time to do that. But as we read the scripture today, I believe that you're going to be blessed by what the scripture is saying to us today. So you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 1. And while we are turning there today, the sermon title is Our Identity. Our Identity. So in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, "Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all of his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, that you may multiply greatly at the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Now go to verse 20, same chapter. "When your son asks you in time to come, saying, 'What is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you?' Then you shall say to your son, 'We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all of his household. Then he brought us out from there, and he might bring us in to give us a land which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he may preserve us alive as it is this day. Then it will be righteousness for us if we carefully to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us." Now go to chapter 8. Chapter 8, and go to verse 11. It says, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through this great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there is no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth.' And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. And then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God." Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 19. Once again, we hear the words, "You shall teach them to your children, and speaking of them, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of heaven above the earth. For if you carefully keep all the commandments which I command you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to hold fast to Him, then the Lord will drive out all those nations from before you, and you will depossess greater and mightier nations than yourselves. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even to the western seas, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand against you. The Lord your God will put the dread of you and the fear of you upon the land where you tread, just as He has said to you. Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I have commanded you today to go after the gods which you have not known. What defined the nation of Israel? The one and true God. The sovereign God that they served defined that nation. When the nation of Israel failed to recognize God, the nation lost its way. The people lost their identity as a people that served the one true God. Today we live in a country that has lost its way. Now have they, by not recognizing and serving God, many of these things, as we read through them today, you could think about the United States as you read them. That if you will believe, you will trust, you will teach your children and to your children's children and to your grandchildren, I will bless you, I will multiply you. But never stop and think about that you were the one that brought this wealth into your hands. Never think for a moment that you did it within yourselves, because I was the one that did it for you. Today we live in a country that has lost its way. And how have they lost their way? By not recognizing and serving God. And in America, because of this, our people struggle as never before with an identity crisis. Young people ask, who am I? What am I? Why am I here? What is my purpose in life? And the church has failed our youth. How? By not teaching the truth. We have taught that truth is relative in this country for 40 years. In other words, my truth may be different from your truth, and it may be different than yours, but it doesn't make it any less true. That truth is relative to the person that is dealing with it. The truth is relative to what they are experiencing, and your truth is not necessarily true for my truth. We have gotten so far from the Word of God because the Word of God is truth. Anything outside of this is not true. The world doesn't handle truth. The world doesn't deal with truth. The leaders of nations don't handle nor deal with truth. We are the ones that hold the truth, church, and we need to proclaim it high, and we need to proclaim it daily. No wonder that we are confused today as young people. John 14:6 says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The truth for your life, your identity as a nation, as a people, lies in the Scripture and nowhere else. God created you. He knew you before you were born. He has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. God has not lost us. Our nation, our people have lost their way to God. That's why our world, our nation, is promoting 13 to 15 different genders. Our nation has an identity crisis on its hand. We have set our young people adrift. They have nothing to anchor their lives to. What did Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 through 28 say? It says this, Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I commanded you, and a curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you today to go after other gods which you have not known. Today before us is set before us a blessing and a curse. If you obey the commandments of the Lord, you can write this down, that Pastor Leo said this on this day, this year, if I obey the commandments of the Lord, if I follow the truths that He has set for me, I know I will be blessed. My family will be blessed. But if I ignore the truth of God's word, I will suffer the consequences. And I don't know how many of us could probably stand up in this room and say, you know what? I've been there and I've done that, and I suffered the consequences before I got my life squared with the Word of God. And since I have got my life squared with the Word of God, God has been blessing me. And I know that I can have that expectation that He is going to bless me because I'm obeying His Word. This Word here is the truth that we can align our lives up to and with, not the truth that the world is promoting as being true, but it doesn't line up with this. There are a total of two religions in this world, a total of two: faith in one true God or faith in man. Listen to the Bible by the numbers, and the number is two. So I'm going to tell you by the numbers. We're going to talk through the Bible just briefly by the numbers, and the number is two. Do you serve the God of heaven, or do you serve the God of this universe? Are you a child of God or a child of disobedience? Are you saved or are you unsaved? Are you going through the wide gate or are you going through the narrow gate? Have you accepted Christ or have you rejected Christ? Are you a child of the King or a child of the adversary? The last is endless. The list is endless. Two, resurrection. Are you going to be a part of the resurrection of the just, or are you going to be a part of the resurrection of the unjust? There's two deaths, a physical death that we're all going to face if the Lord doesn't return and take us home. But there's also a death that no one has to face, and that's the second death, which is eternal separation from God. Are you going to know? I can say, well, I can die the first one. I'm not going to die that second one. That number two is not for me. I am a part of the resurrected of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my Savior, and I praise Him forevermore. We say that in many times, is this too black and white for many of our churches today? Does it seem to be too harsh? Well, not teaching the truth has got us where we are at in America. And I think we need to start teaching the truth. Turn with me in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Matthew 10 and verse 32. Matthew 10 and verse 32. In verse 32, he says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Number two, whoever denies me before men, will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. But let's go farther. Verse 34. Do you think that I came to bring peace on earth? I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, a daughter-in-law against his mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father and mother more than me, he is not worthy of me. And who loves son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me, he is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will find it. We have heard revival springing out the state of Kentucky on a university. We have heard that revival breaking out among the youth. And I believe the church has failed to teach the truth. And because the church has failed to teach the truth, because the church has lost its identity, the Holy Spirit is starting it up in the young people that are looking. They're longing for something that they are steadfast, something that is unmovable, something that they can anchor their life in. Christian, if I ask you today who you are, what your identity is, what would you say? What would you say? Let me give you an example. I worked at 3M for 35 years. Do I look like a 3M? And the answer is no. Do I look like a roll of tape? I don't think so. People will identify themselves by what they do for a living. That is not your identity. People will identify themselves by an illness that they have. Well, I'm diabetic. Well, I recovered from a heart attack. I'm a cancer survivor. As if that's what your identity is. Christian, that is not your identity. I didn't see Bill Morgan come in with a welding hat on. I didn't see Dave Doty come in with a tool belt on. I didn't see Dennis pull out his electrical pliers this morning. I didn't see Jason Morgan pull out his clipboard and say, well, let's figure this out, what this is going to cost today. That's what they do for 11, but that's not who they are. They are a child of the Most High God. Hallelujah. That's our identity. Doesn't make any difference if you had cancer, or if you had this, or if you had that. That is not your identity. That's not who you belong or who you are. What you did for a living does not identify you. An illness does not identify you. You ever been to a graduation reunion? 25 years out from graduating, and you go back and they still want to talk about when they were in high school. It's like, grow up, move on. That's not who you are. But some people have never grown past that point. That's what they identify themselves with. That's what they had fun doing. And it may be the only thing that they've done in their whole entire life. I was once a sinner, but I do not identify myself with being a sinner because I've been saved by the grace of God. And so have you. Saints, as born-again Christians, we need to start identifying ourselves through our relationship with our Heavenly Father, not through this world. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5, one that many of you know by heart. 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This should be the most defining moment in your life. Come into Jesus, define my life. I belong. This is where I was at. This is what I was connected to. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians in chapter 6. In chapter 6, verse 9. Chapter 6, verse 9 of 1 Corinthians, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. He didn't say you still are. He said some were some of you. But you were what? Washed. But you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah. That's what I used to be, but I don't identify myself as being that way anymore. I'm a saint. I'm not a sinner. I'm saved. I'm not unsaved. I'm going to be a part of the first resurrection, not a part of the second resurrection. I'm going to walk on the streets of glory. I'm not going to walk in the fire of hell because of my faith that I have in Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to His name. He wants you to identify with that, not with what you are, what you used to be, what you do for a living, or the sickness that you have in your life. He wants you to identify who you are in Christ Jesus, resurrected, saved by the holy power of the Lord Jesus Christ because of His life that He gave for you on Calvary. Hallelujah. We will never fulfill the Great Commission if we don't. If you don't believe it, it's not going to happen. If you don't think that you can do it through the power of the Holy Spirit, it won't happen. You're not going to cast out demons if you're not full of the Spirit. You're not going to touch people and for people to be healed if you don't believe it. Because what you believe is what you're going to get. And if you don't believe it, you're not going to receive it. All of those things that are available to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not only an heir, I'm a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. All the things that belong to Jesus belong to me. All the gifts that are available in the Bible are available to me today. And I praise Him forevermore. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. I got to wrap it up. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Verse 4. Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And listen to verse 6. And raised us up together and made us to sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What is my identity? I have been saved. I have been set free. I have been delivered out of the power of darkness to the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Spiritually, I am seated in heaven with Christ. I am an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. I am a witness to the world. I lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I will cast out demons. I will speak in new tongues. Whatever the Holy Spirit wants me to do, that's what I'm going to do because He has given me the power to do it. Who am I? I am a child of the Most High God, and so are you today. That's who I am. No, I don't look like a roll of tape, and I don't look like a 3M. I am a child of God. I have a new name that is written in glory, and it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, and I praise Him forevermore. My identity gives me purpose and a plan for my life. I've been telling these kids on Wednesday night, God knew you before you were in the womb. He knew He had planned your birth. How special that you are. The scripture says that we are wonderfully and fearfully made. God is not in the junk business, and He doesn't make junk. He makes somebody special, created in His image, with a design, with a plan, and with a purpose. Don't ever want any one of our young people ever think about taking their life. They are a child. They are the children of God. God to be raised up to tell other people about Jesus. God has a plan for you, and He has a plan for all of us here today. Find somebody to tell them about your faith in Jesus. Yeah. Witness to them. Yeah. Hallelujah. Boy, I just don't know how to stop today. God is so good. God is so good. He wants you to know how special that you are in His eyes. And He wants you to know beyond anything else, if you start identifying yourself with who you are in the Scripture rather than identifying yourself with who you are in the world, you will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We will witness, and our church will never stop growing for the kingdom of God, and we're going to grow this church right into heaven because we believe it and we trust it, and we're going to stand on the truth of God's Word. That's what we all want, isn't it?
Yes.
Amen. That's what we all want. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we come before You today in the name of Jesus. And we thank You for Your Word, because it is so true. That we hold the truth from You for each and every one of us today in our hands today, and we praise You for it. And I pray that, Father, if anybody has lost their identity in this world in which we live in, and they don't know who they are, and they've never accepted Jesus, that today is a day of salvation. Today you can find your identity in the Lord Jesus Christ, how special and unique you are. All He wants you to do is give your faith to Him. Father, You would bless this special time that we have together as a church family, because this portion of the service is our communication and our testimony that we know what our identity is, because we identify with Jesus and we know what He did on the cross for all of us today. And I ask it in Jesus' name, amen.